To the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it. Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with me. The text line, that's your best opportunity. Still to come on the program, we kind of stacked up with the legislators today. It was a Friday, so it'll tend to be a little more available. Still to come, we got State Senator Will Barfoot and then our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. But joining us now, one of the champions in the lower chamber in the House, State Representative Jamie Keel from Russellville, joining us on the line. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Good to talk with you this morning.
Hey, thanks for making time. We really do appreciate it. I know things are, they're busy. We'll start there before we get into what you've been working on. But how has this session been for you?
Yeah, the session I think has been pretty productive. We got off to a slower than typical start because we had a special session at the very first of the session this time, and so that slowed some bills initially. But once we got moving, we're working 3-day weeks in the legislature, which is a little bit different, and so that keeps the process moving pretty quickly.
Well, it sounds like you got maybe slow that part of it down a little bit, but the pace, it does seem like it's been frantic between hearings and a deja gavel in.
That's right. Yeah, we have, once we have now got, I guess we've primed the pump a little bit and got some legislation moving, we'll go back to 2-day weeks now and work the normal process with committee days on Wednesdays.
Well, it's been kind of fascinating to watch because it's certainly a change of pace from previous years. But we'll see how it goes. We're almost halfway through.
We are. We are moving right along. We're on probably on track to run out of legislative days probably before we run out of calendar days, and so probably get I think we can go through the middle of June, but we'll probably get done closer to the 1st of June is the word right now, at least.
Well, we'll be watching. Let's pick it up here. So this bill you got, and I think this really became a real big thing during the COVID era in Alabama, but just kind of put some guardrails in place for what we do with our absentee balloting. Absentee ballots have always been, absentee voting has always been kind of a vulnerability in the voting system in Alabama, going way back. But it does look to me like you got an effort here to, like I said, try to rein some of this in.
Well, it's always been a potential for a soft spot, as far as someone gaming the system, because it happens outside of the regular voting process. And so, we know that every other year on a certain date, we know what that date is now. In the general election, it's the first Tuesday in November, and we're going to have a primary every other year. So we know what that date is. We can plan for it. We have security measures in place. Our polling places are secure, but outside of that, absentee ballots have been an issue for years, and I think people have discussed it for years, how to make it more solid. There have been folks that have manipulated that process for years, taking advantage of vulnerable people, and so with our new Secretary of State, Wes Allen, come into office, it's one area that he identified that we could improve on. And I agreed with him, and so we've worked together on this bill to, try to shore up the absentee ballot process.
Well, and during COVID, it was almost like it was used in a way to do early voting, and that perfectly legal But you look at it and you wonder, you know, there were other things going on there that were kind of breaking the sanctity of the ballot up. And you just look at it, and you look at what other states and how it's gone there, and we're trying to, I guess, prevent that.
Sure. I mean, we saw it nationwide where ballot harvesting was going on, and COVID certainly did not help that situation. It gave people more of an excuse to vote absentee rather than voting on election day. And so a lot of, you know, there were instances where that they took that COVID excuse and capitalized on that, and people that would not have ordinarily absentee voted did.
Now, it looks like you got some support here. The Secretary of State, Wes Allen's come out in favor of it. It does seem like this is something that you're not just swimming upstream here by yourself.
Oh, I had multiple co-sponsors in the legislature, you know, from the speaker all the way through with leadership. And it was, you know, we've got a lot of support in the legislature for this. I think we're going to move it through the House, and hopefully the Senate will see fit to do the same thing.
Well, your opponents, obviously the Democrats came out swinging at you. They made it about a race thing, and I think they are trying too hard, but that's just me. I mean, what do you say to these guys?
Well, the people that were at the public hearing, including those that tried to make it about race, it's just not. And there's no racial undertones. There's no attempt to suppress voters, nothing like that. The other groups that were at the public hearing on the bill, although it was, I know their intentions were pure, we amended the bill in committee to try to help to make clear that our intentions are not to prevent people from voting. We actually put in the bill in committee that an affirmative defense against prosecution in this bill is if you are blind or disabled or you can't read or write. And so, we want to make clear that we're not trying to inhibit anyone from voting. We're just trying to take the bad actors out of this process.
Because what will happen is people will fill out a ballot, show up at somebody's house in some of these counties, and then vote with it. But there are still people that do need assistance.
Sure. And this bill allows for multiple ways to get assistance if you're not able to go vote in a traditional way. And so, I mean, I spell it out pretty clearly in here so that there's no ambiguity. People understand who can help. And it comes down to a family member. And that can be, not limited to, but includes aunts, uncles, grandparents, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, parents, siblings, half-siblings, your kids. Any of those folks can assist you in getting a ballot application, filling it out, and sending it back in. If you don't have any kin folks, then someone who lives with you, if they've lived with you for 6 months, they reside with you, they can help you. If you don't have that, the Secretary of State will either himself or appoint an employee to assist you with the ballot process. Your county's probate judge or someone that the probate judge designates will help with the process. The circuit court clerk, which is often the absentee election manager, they are qualified to help with the process. And then if it's someone who has a guardian or a conservator or anybody that's probate judge appoints to help in that, they can get assistance. So there are multiple ways for people to vote absentee and get assistance with filling out the application and the ballot itself. So we're not trying to limit people from voting. We're trying to limit those who might in bad faith be filling out applications, be filling out the ballots for people, without them fully understanding what's going on.
joined by State Representative Jamie Keel here on the program for a few more minutes. Real quick, we'll get through some other kind of bigger, broader issues. Grocery tax, a few proposals out there, but I think the Garrett Orr proposal rolled it back incrementally. I mean, what's your feeling on that? What are you hearing on that?
Well, I think if we're going to do it, that's the responsible way to do it, is to do it incrementally. The budgets are up right now, and so and they have been, they've not just gone up because of COVID. They have gone up substantially because of the influx of money, the influx of income tax revenue and sales tax, but that has not all been driven by inflation. I've been in Montgomery, was elected in 2018, and so this is year five of budget increase. And so since 2018, the budget has increased every year because of increased income tax and sales tax, which means our economy is doing great in Alabama. And so, when our economy is doing great, I think it's perfectly fine to give tax relief where we can. And the grocery tax is obviously one of those taxes that impacts everyone.
Well, you think it's going to happen? Because, I mean, you hear different things depending on what day of the week it is. And some days I hear from people that they're very optimistic, and then other days, I don't know. I guess it just depends on who you talk to. But do you have a sense of the prospects?
I think something happens. I'm not sure in which form it passes through. As you know, you've been to Montgomery. A lot of folks are not familiar with the process, but it is a deliberative process. It takes a long time to make anything happen. And so for anyone to snap their fingers and say there's going to be a tax cut or there's going to be a tax rebate, that's not the way the system works, because there's 140 legislators down there and 105 House members that the majority have to agree in the House, and then it has to go to the Senate, and they have to have the exact same idea and agreement on the exact issue, and then the governor has to sign it. So there is, it's not an easy process to get any change. I think that's the benefit, for the most part, to the taxpayers, that things can't happen quickly and unilaterally. It is a very deliberative process, so it's working its way through the committee process now, and I feel like something happens. I just couldn't tell you what.
Last thing, we'll get you out of here on this. Your Pregnancy Resource Act that you're co-sponsoring, and it looks like kind of the state putting its money where its mouth is with some tax credits to shore up these pregnancy centers. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up. It's a very important bill. In 2019, we passed the most restrictive abortion law in the United States, and I'm super proud of that. I believe it was the right thing to do. I believe it is the right thing to do. And now that Roe Wade has been overturned, it's in place, statewide, and hopefully the outcome of that is that we have many new babies born and many new mamas across the state, and with that comes a responsibility. It's a responsibility to the churches and the communities to take care of them. And it's also, the responsibility of government to take care of the least of these. And I certainly believe that babies and moms at that vulnerable time are. And so this simply gives a tax credit to those individuals who donate to pregnancy crisis centers. It will be a tax credit on your state income tax up to your 50% of your tax liability. And it will give up to $10 million in funds to these pregnancy crisis centers across the state. We think there's around 57 of those serving communities throughout the state, and they help from everything from prenatal care all the way through the birthing process, help the new moms learn how to cope with motherhood, help with their health care needs, and then sometimes they help with the adoption process. And so our focus has to be on caring for these children and these moms after these new babies are born. And I certainly hope that's the outcome of our of our abortion bill, anti-abortion bill, and I hope this passes so that we can get help directly to those centers who are caring for those children.
Representative, we got to leave it there. You've been very, very kind to make time for us this morning. Let's talk again soon.
Okay. Sounds good, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you. That was State Representative Jamie Keel there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.